you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because of him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed, and he took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes, and he said, "Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me and recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh to quarrel against me." And it was so that when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent the king to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came in his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and he went away. And he said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his Lord his God and strike his hands over the place and recover the leper. And are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right now and say, "Hey, you're beautiful." And I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Guys, do not miss this opportunity. If your wife's close by, she will be reminded of you later. I'm not going to say anything, but I saw one woman go, I know that's what happened because her husband did like this. So you know there was a punch thrown. Glory. Guys, if she had to do that, you in trouble already. Somebody said, "Preacher, you ain't helping the situation." Oh, yeah. Anytime there's a fire, if you stir it up, it gets better. Glory. I want to talk to you this morning on a specific subject. A specific God in a world of options. You know, it's amazing, this guy, Naaman. Notice what it says in the first chapter, the first verse of that chapter. It said that he is a mighty man of valor, a great man with his master, a man of honor. In his armor, he looked like the general of all generals. There's something about him, though, that last little sentence lets you know that no matter how good he looked on the outside and how much he had going for him, he was still a leper. You know, the day after day, we're confronted with a vast array of options. I mean, there's so many options, it'll about make your head spin. I mean, everything down to something simple as how you want your hamburger. Do you know that Burger King says there's 1,024 different ways you can order a Whopper? Amen. 1,024 ways you can order a Whopper that they know of. They've calculated and figured out. I mean, would you imagine having to eat that many Whoppers just to see what they taste like? What an awesome thought. Glory. But just think, if there's 1,024 options for a Whopper, what if you went to Subway? Now, Jared would eat the rest of his life and never eat every option they got down there on sandwiches. Amen. I mean, you can even put cookies on one. They got them. Glory. But now, church, isn't life just full of options for us? I mean, we have options on what we eat, options on what we wear, options on what we listen to. I mean, you know, you can get on the radio. I don't know about y'all, but my car, I got 100-something channels on XM alone. Can't listen to all of them because they ain't worth it. But there's some good news channels and some other stuff you can listen to that's really good. Amen. But we got options. I mean, we got options what we're going to watch on TV. We got options on what we're going to drive. See, some of y'all sitting around here, and y'all so young, y'all don't even remember when you didn't have options with TV. I mean, y'all just can't understand anybody going, well, they only had three channels. And that was only if we could turn the antenna right. Huh? My daddy used to tell us to go out there. We had a set of channel lock pliers on the antenna. And daddy would say, go out there, son. We'd stand outside the window. And he'd say, now turn it a little bit. And you'd be turning. He'd say, ho, 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 ho. Yeah, that's it right there. And we could actually get a fourth channel out of Mississippi. Glory. Then we found one of them electric antennas where it had a little motor on it. And you'd hit the button and it'd turn. And how many of you remember when you got the little grill on your antenna that looked like something off a hamburger grill with a bow tie on it? UHF. Oh, wasn't that awesome? Now you got two more channels you can get if you're close enough. Glory. Oh, I got some folks leaving me and say, preacher, you lived in the Stone Age. No, that's not been that long ago. Amen. And you know, the truth of the matter is, things have changed. Now we got hundreds of TV channels to choose from, and we got people actually got the TV on and got pictured windows up in the pictures trying to watch something else while they're watching this, and they're flipping back and forth and moving back and forth. I had one preacher, he didn't even call it a remote. He called it a flipper because that's all he did. He wouldn't even stop on channel long enough to see if there's anything on he wanted to watch, much less watch something that was on one of the channels. And I was preaching revival for him, and his brother Hedgepath, one of our older preachers, I preached revival for him. I stole that thing, hid it. I got it on a channel he didn't like, and I left it there, and I hid that thing. He was after his wife, Peg, where's my flipper? And I'd be over there. He said, you see my flipper? I said, no, sir, you don't see it, do you? I couldn't see it. I had it hid. But we have options, you know, and that because we got those options, we're presented with daily. Wouldn't it be awesome if some statistician actually sat down and figured up how many options each person would have that they could look at in their lifetime? I mean, whether they're going to wear this kind of clothes or that kind of clothes or this color clothes or that color clothes. Amen. Are they going to eat this meal or that meal? Are we going to have Mexican? Are we going to have Italian? I remember when we just had home cook. Oh, preacher. I've got some women looking at me and say, you better hush. Glory. Man, we even got options in soup now. I remember when it was chicken noodle. And now you go through there and there's 100 different cans of Campbell's soup of some kind up there. Not counting chunky down on the bottom. Glory. So we're full of options, and options are there everywhere. But obviously, we've grown accustomed to our options. We're so grown accustomed to our options that we don't like it if somebody tries to tell us we don't have options. It's even gotten that way in the church world. While we go to church, we want options. We want the kind of singing we want. We don't care who it makes mad. We got one group that wants the old songs, another group wants the new songs, and it is about to tear the church in two, and they don't understand the turn of the century, the same thing happened when they quit singing out of the Bible, started singing hymnals. I even had somebody the other day say, let's do it like they did in the old days. I think I will. Next week, we're going to have preaching, and then y'all can sing all y'all want to. Because they used to sing at the end of the service, not the beginning of the service. And we're going to get the Bible out, turn to the book of Psalms, and we're going to sing out of Psalms because that's what they sang from in the old days. See, it's how far old you want to get. Come on, church. Smile at me. Amen. We want our options. We want the preacher to preach something that's going to make us feel good. That's why these guys are running all over TV, making everybody feel good. Have a great life. You know, oh, you know, I'm going to be a positive preacher. You can have a positive attitude. You can have positive relationships. And you can positively go to hell if you don't get saved. Glory. Come on, church. Why? Because there is no options when it comes to God. Our options are limited. You say, what are you talking about? Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man come to the Father but by me. What are you talking about? There is no option. We've got preachers today that are opening up the churches saying, oh, if you'll just believe, it's okay. And they call them seeker friendly, where if you believe anything you want to, it's all right. No, it's not. You've got to believe in Jesus Christ. You've got to be born again. I hear the religious man who had all the religion you could want. He came to Jesus. He said, one thing you lack, you still got to be born again. You've got to be washed in that blood we were singing about. And your sins have got to be put under that blood, or you're not going to make eternity with God. Well, preacher, that's narrow-minded. That's true. But listen to what Acts chapter 4 says. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's kind of limited, isn't it? Glory. Oh, I'm not going to get saved in the name of Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm not going to get saved because I joined a particular church, or I'm baptized in a particular type of water, or I'm anointed with oil. I'm going to get saved because I believe in Jesus Christ, because he is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and only in him is there salvation. It's going to make it forever and forever and forever. Could you say amen? Glory. I'm sure most of you believe this, but still, we're the problem of what's going on in the world. We're in a world that says, I need options. There's got to be more to it. It can't just be that straight-laced. There's got to be other ways. Oh, let me tell you something. I got a letter somewhere in my office written by a Methodist preacher. And I don't normally call names of denomination, but if he dumb enough put his name on it, he might not do realize he has lost his paper since then, because I mailed a copy of that letter to someone who mailed it to their leadership, who actually pulled his papers. But he sent this letter to the place in Tuscaloosa that makes Christian t-shirts, and they were selling those t-shirts to them. It's called Witness Wear. And they wrote the letter, and he said, now you talk about you make these t-shirts with the good news, but if the good news says the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, that's not good news. That tells me unless I conform to your theology, I cannot find Jesus to be my Lord. I can't do it my way. And I believe there is more than one option. There are many gods. Only one God in your thinking makes it not good news. And I'm sitting there going, my God, what kind of idiot are you? Glory. Uh-oh. Somebody said, preacher, I'm upset with you. Nah, don't be. I know that's a bad word, but my Bible said a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Glory. Hello? Amen. I was reading the other day where some guy had a problem with his computer, and he called his 11-year-old in. He said, oh, it's not a problem. That's just I.TNT mess up. He said, what are you talking about, I.TNT? He said, write it down, I.D. I.O.T. Idiot. In case y'all can't spell. Glory. The little 11-year-old basically said, you was an idiot. That's bad when 11-year-olds can do better with a computer, but most of them can. Amen. But you know, church, we live in a world where reactions are different to everybody. They've got to figure out a new way. They've got to figure out a new way. But let me tell you something, church. Realize this. This is not something new to our generation. I mean, let's go all the way back to what we're talking about now. I haven't left Naaman. He's still there. I mean, you know, Naaman was somebody. I mean, let's face it. He had a plethora of gods to pick from in Syria. I mean, they had all the different gods, Ramon, Astaroth. I mean, he could go and talk to those gods, and he offered sacrifices, and he's done everything he can. And now he's at a point he's got a problem. You say, well, preacher, what are you getting at? This man is a man of privilege. He's got options in a world that don't have options. What are you talking about? He's got to be a man of privilege. He's not in the leper colony like everybody else. So we know he's a man with money. He's a man that's got options. But he's run out of options. He's tried every god, probably went to every doctor. And there is no cure for leprosy. Leprosy is a disease that literally begins to cut the blood flow off to the extremities. They begin to rot while they're literally tied to the body. It's not long till either the digits, your fingers and stuff start to fall off. And eventually it will begin to stop the blood flow to major organs. And when it does, you die. But before that, you break out, your skin starts to peel all over your body, you get all kind of sores, and they stay there for months and they never heal. And then you're ostracized from the family. He can't shake anybody's hand, he can't hug their neck unless he's in his armor. In his armor, he walks down the street and nobody knows he's a leper. Amen. But he's got a problem. He's running out of options. His gods haven't helped him. Amen. He's a man of privilege. I asked a question in the early service. I'll ask you, any of you ever seen the old True Grit? Don't waste your time with a new one. Bad acting, aggravating writing. Glory. Hello? You may be a Jeff Bridges fan, but if he can act, I'm an airplane. He just got a daddy that was an actor. Glory. I just wish writers would learn to write movies now instead of just remaking the old ones and putting new people in them. Of course, you kids are singing songs right now that was out in the 60s, just some guy figured out how to redo it. Glory. Come on, church. Had a kid tell me the other day, said, I don't like them old songs. I really like the new ones, like the Stones. I said, what Stones are you talking about? He said, Rolling Stones. I said, them dudes is 80 years old. He said, you lying? I said, no, sir. They come out with hits when I was in elementary school. There's a reason the drummer ain't got no teeth. Oh, that's good preaching. But in the old movie, True Grit, that young lady's got something going for her. She walks into town, and she's 14 years old, but she impresses everybody by saying, I'm from Yardnell County, and I own land. Which means I'm a person of privilege. I got rights, and you better mind my. You ever notice, I remember late in that show, she made that statement to the outlaw. I own land. I shouldn't be treated like this. He got her on the ground with his foot on her head with a gun to her throat. He said, I will kill her if you take more than 5 minutes. You know why? Because her options ran out. Amen. It didn't matter to him who she was, where she came from. Can I tell you, church, some of y'all need to back off and realize God don't care who you are. He don't care where you come from. You could have been born with a gold spoon in your mouth. It don't matter. You could have been in a house full of privileges. It don't matter. You could have come from the sorriest place in the world. It don't matter. All he knows is I died for you. I gave my life for you. And if you can but believe in me, I can give you life. And I can give you life more abundantly. Could you say amen? Naaman shows up, and now he's got it going. He's got all this privilege going for him, and finally he comes to the place. He said, I ain't got no more options. And this little Israeli girl who has been taken prisoner and working as a slave looks at his wife. She said, I just wish he could go to Samaria and see one of our prophets. Why, he could just lay hands on him and that stuff would disappear. And she is so convincing in her faith that the wife sends message to the husband and says, you're not out of options yet. There's a dude in Samaria can take care of you. Amen. And he goes to the king, and the king finds out what he's talking about. And he said, look, if I could just get into Israel without a fight, I could go see this guy and he could help me. And the king says, I'll give you a letter. And he writes a letter to the king of Israel. Problem is, he writes him a letter saying, I have sent my main general. He's there to get healed of leprosy. And the king looks at it and says, huh, what am I supposed to do? Can I lay hands on him and give him life? Can I heal him? Now, all this is a letter so he can start a war. You ever noticed that servant girl, that little slave, had more faith in the God of Israel than the king of Israel did? You know what's wrong with some folks in the church? There are people that's not even in the church got more faith than you do. They believe God can do it. They just ain't never surrendered to him. We got folks in the church, been in the church so long, you forgot stuff. They're just learning. I remember a few years ago, Ron Phillips, Baptist preacher filled with the Holy Ghost, come down to preach our camp meeting. He said, "Don't look at me. I'm just finding out stuff y'all forgot. Because it's new. Some of us been around so long, we just figure, well, it's there. I don't know I believe it that way anymore. If God's still real, you better believe it that way. If it ever was real, it is just as real right now." Could you say amen? And we need to get back to believing that God can do things in people's lives. Some of you got kin folks. You won't invite them to church because you're afraid they can't get saved. I got news for you. There is nobody in this world that God cannot save, that God cannot wash away their sin, that God can't. There is not a lost cause. And if you'll introduce them to me, I'll prove it to you. I'm going to say, "Preacher, you stuck your neck out." No, I didn't, because I've seen lost causes all my life. I went to the Bowery and sat down with alcoholic, drug addicts, and guys that were winos. Some of them fixed to get mad at me. I bought them a bottle of wine. Why'd you do that? Because they wouldn't listen to me unless I gave them something to keep them there. Well, you don't feed the pig. You do if you want to eat pork. Y'all get over it. I didn't use your money. It's before I came here. Glory. Somebody gave an offering for me to use it for the kingdom. That's what I was doing. I'm in the Bowery of New York sitting on a old road, just an alleyway. We're just sitting on the ground. And they passing that wine bottle around. They get to me. I say, no thanks. Y'all go ahead. I'm good. And they're drinking that wine bottle. I'm talking to them. You say, what good did it do? Four of them left that alley with me. Four of them ended up in church in Long Island, ended up in a rehab center, and two of them are preachers of the gospel today. All because I bought a little bottle of wine, spent a little time with them, because I didn't give up on them and say they're a lost cause. Any of y'all ever heard the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir sing? Any of y'all ever heard the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir? Where y'all been living? That's the most known choir in the world, and y'all never heard the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Well, we got to get a Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir tape and just play it one Sunday. What's really good is not just here to sing, and it's awesome. Isn't it amazing? The choir director don't even know music. She just made the mistake of being married to the preacher. They've recorded and listened to all over the world. What's awesome is when you get the video and they sing a song and stop, and the guy singing the lead shows you the truck he lived in under the bridge before they got him in church, when he was an outcast, an alcoholic, and nobody would have nothing to do with him. And they get him in church, and now he's got a voice that is as good a quality as you ever want to hear. Or they go get somebody that was a prostitute and she's now singing in the choir. Come on, church. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm telling you, there ain't a lost cause in the world. There is nobody that my God can't reach and my God can't save if we could just get them to understand there's only one option. But we in the church have got to believe it. The king turns around and says, "Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, what am I going to do?" And now we got the story. Powerful option man versus an entirely specific God. Glory. Hello? All of a sudden, he goes to see Elijah. Rides up, probably before he gets there, stops and makes sure every bit of the gear is perfect. He's got on his regalia as a general, riding in his chariot of a general. If it was today, he'd wheel up in a Humvee with signs and flags everywhere. "I'm him. I'm powerful. I'm bad." He rolls up out there, and let's face it, church, he didn't show up empty-handed. I mean, he come to buy his way into it. There are some people think all they got to do is show up and they can buy their way right into church. Hello? I don't know if y'all figured it out or not, but I don't treat people on how much they pay. I had a preacher tell me once, I said, "Oh, I can't say that to him. He's my biggest tithe payer." I said, "So he runs you?" He said, "Oh, no." I said, "Well, if you can't tell him he's wrong because he's your biggest tithe payer, he owns you. If he's wrong, you need to tell him he's wrong." "Oh, you won't never make it as a pastor." I might not, but I'm who I am. I figure if I got sheep, they're all sheep. I don't look to see who's got the most wool. that's good preaching. Glory. I mean, he showed up with 750 pounds of silver and 150 pounds of gold and 5,000 garments. I mean, he's fixing to pay off big. Rolls up outside, boy, he's ready. And all of a sudden, he gets a message because Elijah sends him one because he don't even walk outside. Well, how's he going to know how bad I am? He ain't even come out here to meet me. I mean, he ain't ever seen my gold. He ain't looked at my garments. He's not seen I come up all this pomp and circumstance. I could have come in street clothes. It wouldn't have made no difference. That's what he was trying to tell him. He ain't about who you are. It's about who he is. Glory. And about that time, he gets in a rage. Because instead of coming outside, the prophet sends one of his little guys. He said, go tell him. Go dip in the Jordan. He gets so mad, he said, my Lord, we got better rivers than Damascus. They're clean. In case y'all have never been to Israel and don't understand this, the Jordan River is filthy. That's why it's called Jordan, where Jordan means filthy, running down. Jews don't get in the Jordan River. We'll fly halfway around the world. Oh, we'll get baptized. And they'll rent you something to get in that water with, and they'll rent you a shower to take a bath in when you get out, but they won't get in there with you. Had a guy told one time, say, oh, that river ain't that filthy. I said, I got bottled water home. You want me to bring it and let you drink some of it? It's been settling for a few years, but I get you still got stuff in it. Might make you sick. You know what's really sad? You got to find a spot to dip in. Because the Jordan River ain't much bigger than Buck Creek. Y'all go, huh? I know, I used to sing that song. Michael rowed the boat ashore. I went over there thinking I'm going to see it. So big river. I got over and saw a creek. And I said, you got to be kidding me. We had to find a wide spot so we could baptize. Hello? And of course, they had that set up where you had to rent to go in and baptize because they knew that was a good place to do it. Hello? That's good preaching. Well, wait a minute, preacher. Why did they have to have help when they went through? Because when it floods, it's like Buck Creek. It covers miles in both directions because it's flat land. It comes out and it'll flood. Amen. And I see somebody right now wanting to argue about the Jordan River. It runs out of the Sea of Galilee. It's the only water out of the Sea of Galilee. It runs down through the West Bank and into another sea called the Dead Sea. And there's a reason they call it the Dead Sea. You drink the water, you'll die. Hello? Oh, I done got y'all mad because he thought the Jordan River was bigger. I got pictures. You want to see them? Glory. He goes down and says, I ain't going to get in that muddy place. The Jews don't use it for nothing but their water crops. It's filthy. I'm going to go home and get my own river. And the Bible said he left in a rage. Mad because his options are taken out. Oh, why didn't he tell me I could go get in another stream? Why didn't he send me down to Jerusalem? Let me get in the pool of Bethesda, in the one of them other places up there where the pools are nice and clean, and get one of them. An old muddy Jordan. Why, what kind of fools he think I am? And he's headed back with all of his money, with all of his garments, with all of his options. And about that time, the little girl runs up and she says, you know, if he'd asked you to do something big, you wouldn't have thought a thing about it. But because he asked you to do something simple, you think it's beneath you. See, I've had people tell me, say, oh, just going down saying Jesus saved me ain't going to do nothing for nobody. I beg to differ. The Bible said it is not on your part. You got saved to begin with. So it's not a science. I had a preacher one time got filled with the Holy Ghost one of my revivals. His church fired him on Sunday because he got filled with the Holy Ghost on Friday night. Won't call the denomination, but they're non-Pentecostal, so to speak. And he got in the Church of God and assemblies and started running revivals. And I seen him at camp meeting, and I said, how's it going? He said, I had something weird the other day. Because, see, in his church, when you come down to pray, you pray with the preacher, and you pray to the preacher like he's the one forgiving you. Come on, church. They'll hold your hand, talk to you. Don't look at me like that. They're a big denomination. But that's the way they do it. They think that's the only way. And he said, I'm down with this kid in the altar the other day and said he was praying. Said, I told him, said, I can't hear you. Said, he looked up at me and said, I ain't talking to you. I looked at him, I said, you're learning. Amen. Listen, the Bible said this. If a man confess his sins, then God is a just God to forgive his sins and cleanse him from all unrighteousness. The simple sinner's prayer is all it takes if you mean it from your heart to get saved. You don't have a science. You don't have to go do certain things, because it is not by works but by the grace of God that we are all born again and washed in the blood of Calvary. Y'all like John Richardson? Man was a hit man with a mafia, one of the meanest people on the face of the earth. But he prayed a simple sinner's prayer over a phone and gave his heart to God, and that's why he's preaching the gospel right now. And it's because it was a simple sinner's prayer. Can I tell you that's the only option? It is the simplicity of the gospel that saves and confounds. It is the simplest of the gospel that lets me know all I gotta do is believe and God's already paid the price. He goes down to that Jordan River, dips in the water, and the Bible said on the seventh trip down, I would imagine every time he went under the water, he's going, this is ridiculous. And I wouldn't doubt a couple of times he started to walk out. But then suddenly he hit the realization, whew, I feel something. He made that last dip come up, and all of a sudden the Bible said his skin became as a child. That old skin that was tearing up and wrinkling, all of a sudden everything started clearing up. His fingers started moving again. Next thing you know, there's skin on him again. He gets all excited, heads back to the man of God. Amen. Now notice what happened in the book of 2 Kings. I want you to hear this. The 5th chapter, the 15th verse. And he turned to the man of God and all of his company and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Amen. He come back and he said, oh, I got to tell you, there ain't no God other than your God. I didn't have to offer a sacrifice. All I did was dip in the water. All I had to do was be obedient. Amen. He said, let me pay you. Elijah said, you can't pay me. You can't pay for what God's doing for you. You can't buy your salvation. Just go and be blessed with what you got. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? It's time some of us realize the options are simple. Jesus Christ is the only option we got. We don't have another option. Could you say amen? Praise God. Listen, I'm going to close, but I want to get this real quick. Like, amen. The world has only one option. That's Jesus. Naaman steps to real healing. First, he go to the place where he can find God. Secondly, listen to the gospel and understand there is no option. Thirdly, he uncovered himself. You can't play with God. You can't say, oh, well, wait a minute now. I've got everybody else fooled. I can fool God. The one thing about God is, any of y'all know who David Ring is? Y'all remember David Ring, the Baptist preacher? He had cerebral palsy. Great preacher. I seen him preach a message one night, and it stuck with me, and I ain't never forgot it. He had on a suit and he walks out there and everything looked good and he's preaching. He said, everybody looks on the outside, and he preaches a while and he kicked his shoes off and he's walking around up there, but his toes were sticking out the end of his socks. A few minutes he pulled his coat off and his shirt was shredded. And every time he'd reveal another part of his suit that wasn't right, he'd say, what do you think about me now? He undone his vest and his tie wasn't but about that long because somebody cut it off. He said, what do you think about me now? His point was, you thought I was perfect when I walked up here, but I was just hiding things from you. Church, listen, you can hide things from me, but God looks on the inside. He knows the very thought, the intent of your heart. That's why you've got to get to that place you understand. Notice, for Naaman to get healed, he had to drop all the pomp and circumstance. He had to get rid of all that armor that made him look so bad, and he got down where he's just like everybody else. Amen. And once he got like everybody else, he humbled himself before God. Hello? To receive your healing, you also got to remember who it came from. Then he let God become the focus of worship from then on. He looked at Elijah and said, I will worship no other God. I'll offer no more sacrifices of Ramon or Ashtaroth, but I will pray to your God every day. Church, some of you need to wake up and realize your God ain't what you worship. Because some of you worship your job. Some of you worship your finances. Some of you worship things that got nothing to do with God. You need to understand the only thing that matters is who God is and who he is to you. That's your only option. Because your money can be gone tomorrow. Let me tell you something. There's a bill going to be passed. It's in the Senate to be passed after the election. Isn't it amazing they're going to pass anything stupid till they get the election by? This bill, hang on, so you can give it to your senator when you call to complain. H.R. 4646. It will put a 1% tax on every transaction you do at the bank. So if you make a deposit, they get 1% to the federal government. You make a withdrawal, they get 1% to the federal government. If you go down and pay a bill, they get 1% if it goes through the bank. So I go, oh, preacher, that's not there. It's actually in the books. In consideration for your next Senate that will start meeting after January. Well, preacher, what are we going to do? Well, if we don't stop it, we'll be paying taxes every time we do something at the bank. Ain't they got trouble at the bank now? Wait till we start hoarding our money up at home. I'll cash my check, give them 1%, the rest of it's going to stay in my pocket. Oh, come on, church. Smile. I ain't mean to mess up your day. I mean, why are you messed up? I mean, he's taxing the rest of us to death anyway. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mess you up. Point is, if you worship in Benjamin Franklin, he going to turn into Abe Lincoln real quick like. Glory. Come on, church. Smile. Money ain't nothing no more. And the guy tell me, I said, I make more money than my daddy ever made. I said, but what your daddy made was worth more than what you got. I was in Jack's the other day, and I realized Jack's hamburgers is exactly $1 more now than they were 50 years ago. They were 15 cents. Y'all remember that? Jack's hamburger for 15 cents. Lord, now they're $1.15. My first car, I paid $3,000 for it. Brand new. Nobody had ever owned it but me. My first new car. My first car was a 63 Buick LeSabre. I bought it from my daddy where I learned how to pay bills. I missed a payment. He took my keys away, parked my car, and pulled the coil wire loose where I couldn't drive it. He said, as soon as you pay me two payments, you can have it back. I said, I don't owe you but one. He said, no, you owe me two because you missed one. I like to never got that $70 up to pay him. And it was embarrassing to have my mama drive me to work and to school. I got that $70 and I paid him. He said, you got another payment due in 3 weeks. Hope we're not going to have this problem again. You know, for some reason, I had two payments in 3 weeks because I was digging, doing everything I could to make sure I didn't get caught like that no more. And guess what? I don't miss payments now because my daddy taught me. What's that got to do with salvation? I learned to make commitment. That's what it's got to do with salvation. You know what's wrong with most people in the church? No commitment. Oh, I'm a member, but I ain't getting involved. Then you ain't a member. Your name's on a book. But if you're a member, you ought to be getting involved. You ought to be helping us reach a lost and dying world in some way, shape, form, or fashion. What would you do if your kidney said, I'm a member, but I ain't getting involved? Because this is a body. And you may be that part that helps this body function, that without it, you got a problem. Oh, I wasn't going there, but I did, didn't I? Glory. So what are you talking about? We're a body fitly joined together. And we need all the kidneys and the adenoids and the tonsils working so we can do something for God. And, buddy, let me tell you something. If you've got a body part that ain't working, it's hard to make the rest of the body do anything. But when it's all working, isn't it an awesome thing to see God do something? And there's a world outside dying and going to hell. And God put the Alabaster Church of God in the midst of that world to reach them with the gospel.
to let them know they may not be but one option, but it's open to anybody that'll take it. Hallelujah. And when we do that, we can see the world come to know Jesus Christ. Stand with me all over the house. A specific God in a world of options. There's an option. That's to know Him. Because without it, the only option you got is an eternity without God. Well, that's a narrow view. True. But the Bible says narrow is a way. And narrow is a gate which leadeth to eternal life. And few there be that find their way in. But broad is the way. Broad is the gate which leadeth to eternal destruction. Father, we thank You this morning, God, for Your word. Master, You said it's not by might nor by power, but by Thy Spirit, saith God. Father, touch us with Your glory this morning. Move on us, God, with Your power. Father God, help us today to open our life to You like never before. Sell out to You, God, like never before. Father God, it is in Jesus' name we pray.